is David Wolford, and I'm here with Mayor Billy Bradford in Ellesmere, Kentucky. Today is February 6th, 2008, and we're going to talk a little bit about his upbringing in the Ellesmere area. Mm-hmm. And how are you doing today, Mr. Bradford?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Great. Well, let's begin. If you could just give me some background on your childhood, where you grew up, that kind of thing, where you went to school in your early years.
Okay. My grandparents raised me. My mother died when I was quite young, and the family kind of got scattered out, and the other brother and sister stayed with an auntie until my father got married again, but I ended up staying with my grandparents. And they lived outside of Florence. Airport owns some of their property now, out on Turfway. And I stayed with them until I got married and moved to Ellesmere. However, Ellesmere was pretty much where we blacks came for church and entertainment and different things that we did in those days.
So most of your youth was you were growing up in a house near where the Northern Kentucky Airport is now?
Yeah, well, if you know, I don't know if you know the area or not, but where the road makes a hard right turn. We lived about three farms down there on Turfway. Third farm from that intersection.
And how old were you when you moved out there?
I think I was about 18 months, they tell me.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, where did you attend school then as a young child?
It's a long story. I started off here in Ellesmere. Rosella French Porterfield was my first teacher, and I guess I gave her gray hairs. But I came here until I got to about the fourth grade. And then an issue came up for a new school, and we didn't like the way it was being presented and all. So my grandfather took me out and sent me to the Burlington school. It was called a Boone Colored School in those days. And I went there until, as far as the eighth grade, and then we used to have graduations where you'd go to high school someplace else. Our choice of high school was either Lincoln Grant in Covington or Lincoln Ridge in Shelbyville, Kentucky. Are you aware of that school?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. I don't know what they're doing there now, but it was a high school. It was more like a campus. Mm-hmm. So I went to Lincoln Grant, where I had to catch a bus or get down there the best way I could. They did give us tokens to go to school there, so that was my experience as far as high school was concerned.
When you went from Florence to the Ellesmere school, was this the Wilkins Heights?
No, it was called Dunbar.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, and I'll show you the original building when we get through here.
Okay.
It's been sold and revamped, but the building, the original shell is still there.
How far of a drive was that from Florence to the Dunbar school as a youth?
Well, I didn't tell you the whole story. What I would do is come and stay with my dad, who lived here in Ellesmere, from Sunday night until Friday night, Sunday afternoon, evening, whatever time of day it was. I stayed until Friday. And
okay.
My grandparents would come pick me up.
So on a daily basis, you didn't have to travel that far from school?
Yeah, I got to walk to school.
Okay.
It's probably about 3 miles. 3.5 miles from here to where the farm was.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tell me a little bit about that Dunbar school. What was a daily, just on a daily basis, what went on there? What was a school day like?
Okay. And another thing about Dunbar, we had outgrown it. So the first through the third grade, went to the Barnes Temple Church here in Ellesmere, Barnes Temple AME Church, and I'll show you that also. That's when they hired Rosella back in those days. So we did that, and once I left out of this Erlanger Ellsman school system, I stayed in Boone County until I got out of the eighth grade. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, pretty much. So kind of as a grade school student, you were here at that particular school you mentioned earlier. Give me some information about just,
Well, our church and the school both were one-room affairs. We really made a fire. Either teacher would get there earlier or somebody would make a fire in this stove that they provided for us. The church had their stove and the school had their own stove so the teacher would get there early and make the fire, and we just humbled around that thing and had our, I had special little tables set up for we small children for in the church, and all three grades were taught by that one teacher.
In one room.
And as you know, in schools like that, some of the time the older kids would help the teacher with the children. Am I coming on good and clear?
Yeah, okay. It's quite clear.
So as I got to the third grade and went to the fourth grade, I went over to the Dunbar School. We had a gentleman teacher there, was by the name of Thomas Lewis. he was just our teacher, and it was still one room school. And that was pretty much the same. We had a coal yard out in the yard where we had to go get coal for the stove, for the school stove. So sometimes we boys would go out and take a little longer than we should.
Sure. Yeah.
You know how boys are. But at the church, we had a furnace in the basement. I take that back. We didn't have a furnace. We still had a stove in the church. And I don't remember who got the coal and stuff in, but that's what it amounted to.
And the grand total number of students in that building on a daily basis?
I would say about 30.
30? Was this the general, was this basically the black school in this community at the time?
That was it. That school, and then there was one in Burlington where I ended up going, which was called the Boone County Colored School. Now, in the earlier days before my time, there was two or three schools out in Boone County. Maybe San Juan or a place like that, and maybe Walton, I'm not real sure. And also there were children that came into high school, Macon Grant, that came in from places like Crittenden. They had to catch a greyhound every day, or even Falmouth. And I think they all caught a bus to come to school.
Grant took students that far away?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now you said there was an issue. I didn't quite understand that. Yeah.
We needed a new building. And they were kind of slow about doing it, and they wanted to use used material. And the leaders of our community wanted us to have new material. It's when the Dorothy Howe School was built, they were going to use that brick and build a school over on the Wilkins School over on Capitol Avenue. And we finally got a school, and I think it was all new material that went into it, but the leaders of our community wanted new stuff. They didn't want to use the used stuff. We did use used stuff. We'd get desks and books from the other schools, but on that particular thing, they put their foot down. And
on the construction of the building.
That's right.
When you say they or the leaders, do you mean? The
school board.
It was not the black leadership. The black
leadership in our community. A few people came together and said, let's not put up with that. And as a matter of fact, we went on strike.
How did that go down?
I don't remember. By that time, my grandfather pulled me out, but it was a strike. When the strike was mentioned, he said, well, I'm going to take you out and send you to Burlington. That's where you should be going anyway. So that's what happened. And I don't know how long the strike went on, but it was quite a big thing. It's probably in some of the old papers in the late 40s.
Well, you mean a strike, like...
We kids just didn't go to school.
Oh, it's the boycott of the school itself.
Boy Scout, and we called it a strike.
Okay. Interesting.
You kind of forget about this stuff until you get in a conversation with people.
How segregated was this community back then?
I think the schools and the churches were the most segregated. The kids got together and played and had a lot of fun. And as another matter of fact, this was one of the better communities when the integration did come. We were written up in the Life magazine or one of the magazines. Roselle takes a lot of blame for that, a lot of credit for that. She told me, you need to start with the young people, not just all at once put them high school kids together. So we started out in the lower grades, and it worked out just fine.
I had read a little bit about that, and I had seen that Life magazine photo.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. I was wondering, to what degree, I didn't realize that she was involved in the plan. Was there much dispute about that? I mean, give me a little bit of information that you know about Miss Porterfield's influence on the method that the integration would happen?
Well, I think I told you just about all I know as far as it's concerned. But, you know, the school board ran along with her, and then she was a younger person in the community and had a little more ideas than the existing teachers, I think, you know. Now there was another Miss Porterfield that taught over at the Dunbar School once Mr. Lewis retired, but they're not related. Rosella is from down in Western Kentucky, and Miss Porterfield was a local person. Her name was Carneal, her maiden name was Carneal, but she was one of my teachers also, like from after Mr. Lewis left. I never did go to Mr. Lewis, come to think about it. It's a story behind that too. Mr. Lewis went back to farming, so he didn't have to go to the army. Are you aware of what happened during World War II?
Basically.
Yeah, that's one of the things. If you were a farmer, you didn't really have to go.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Most
farmers were the backbone of the country.
I did not realize that. That was an exemption or a...
Yeah, I knew two other people that got out of the service that way also.
When that new building went up, when they constructed the new school, mm-hmm. what was the... By that time, you were going to school in Burlington.
Burlington is correct. Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything about the you know, if you didn't, I guess you didn't attend the new facility, but do you remember anything about the community's, was there a celebration or any kind of?
I remember them having a cornerstone laying, and that's about all I can remember. That was a big event, and the superintendent of school was there, and the black leadership in, on this side of town. In those days, this was pretty much, the black people were pretty much in Ellesmere. There were two, three, or four couple families over in Erlanger, but most everything was over here.
Okay.
And one of the things that did occur after the school was built, there wasn't a decent road to it. So Roselle got on them about that, said, you need to at least put some rock over here so they don't have to walk in mud. And they did put a street in. I'm not sure when. I do know we updated it as I got on council.
That Life magazine coverage, was that hailed at the time, or was that? I'm guessing that maybe that was a big deal in town that smooth integration had occurred here early.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. Until afterwards, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't pay any attention to the newspapers and the magazines and things. So you might be able to give me some information on that.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the Burlington School then. Once you started going down there, what was the...
It was the same situation, a one-room school. It was a two-story building, but the lodge people met on the top floor. Did you know the Masons didn't meet on the ground floor?
No.
It has nothing to do with black people, but that... And it was a building that they rented from, I guess, the lodge people. The church one, the church and this hall was all on the same piece of property. And this was a one-room school, which at one time was also a high school.
The Burlington school that you attended had been a high school?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Had it been an all-black high school?
It was all-black, uh-huh.
Must have been fairly old.
It was an old frame building. And the church building that was on the same property is still out there.
Okay.
Somebody has to drive through Burlington and see where that was. And we had a male teacher out there. His name was Wallace Strader. He'd gone to Kentucky State University, and he was our professor. Now the teachers, Miss Porterfield had taught her, went to Wilberforce. Are you familiar with that school?
Okay, sure, in Ohio?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh. She and my dad went up there together. My father met his wife there, and that's my mother was from Montana. And people wondered how she got to Montana, but my great-grandparents or somebody went out there. They used to call it a land grab, what they call it now. Seeking lands was the matter, mm-hmm. too. Uh-huh. And that's the way
homesteader.
That's the word.
Okay.
I have an attorney friend, Phil Tolliver, and you see what he had in mind. He said, that's what I said.
Yeah. I'll take credit for it after the fact. What kind of relationship did the boys have with that teacher? I'm guessing most teachers were women back then.
Yeah. Well, I think they got along real well, and Now, you know, Rosella, she wasn't out with us as much as Wilma Porterfield was, because we were fourth graders up to the eighth grade, and she was kind of encouraging the boys to do manly things.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And the teacher before her went out and played with the kids quite a bit, that Mr. Lewis I mentioned. And his wife would teach when he was ill or something, so they kind of liked her better.
Is that right?
Yeah. You're not recording all that. I mean, you're not going
to. Right. I guess by the time you were about ready to enter high school, there was no real high school here very close to this community.
No, not at all.
And William Grant High School was built in downtown Covington by this time.
Yeah, that's correct.
What was the, what percentage, maybe just an estimate of people your age would have said, let's go to Grant, or what, when it came time to go to high school, okay. It sounds like the options were Grant or, like you said, Lincoln Ridge and Shelbyville.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What percentage of black students would go to high school or pick those two options? Just give me some understanding of that.
I think just about 99% of the kids when they got out of the eighth grade went to, and most of all the kids in here in Elgin went to Lincoln Grant, William Grant. I had a cousin that went to Lincoln Institute for a year or two, but other than that, to my knowledge, all the kids here in this community went to Lincoln Grant. 100% of them, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
And you mentioned earlier, it's a bit of a commute, especially by 1950 standards,
yeah.
I guess.
Uh-huh.
Was anybody discouraged to go for that reason?
We didn't know any better. You heard those comedians say they thought they were living good until they started to watch television.
Yeah.
But, we just went with the flow, was what it amounted to. Your parents did it before you, and you just followed through. And then not until somebody kind of reminded us that we needed to step up, did we start to complain.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. There would be a little riffle here and there, but it never amounted to much of anything.
What did the, I guess if that many people were coming, the Grant didn't need to come out here and recruit or advertise.
No,
it just was known that that's the local high school.
Yeah, well, our school board paid our tuition, and like I said, they gave us bus chips. I was fortunate, one of my neighbors out on the farm worked at the old Sears and Roebuck, so I got a ride in every morning, and then I rode the bus back to Florence, and then I walked to my house, which was 2 miles out of Florence. My grandfather said, when it's raining and the weather's bad, give me a call and I'll come and meet you. But most of the neighbors knew me, and I didn't have to walk all the way on many days.
How much time did that take? What was a commute, your total travel time in the morning or in the evening?
I can't put that together.
Maybe an hour? Or?
I'm sure it was. Probably about 45 minutes, because I got a ride to go in. And coming back, I called a bus. I was probably an hour. Coming back, I had to walk to the bus station and get to Florence and then get out and start to walk home. I tried to stay down to play basketball a couple of evenings, and it lasted so late. And basketball starts late in the year anyway, and it was dark by the time I got out of school, so I forget that.
Was that under Coach Redden?
Yeah, Coach Redden,
What do you remember about him?
He was just a nice go-getter guy, and made sure that we hustled for what we did. Uh-huh. Well, you know as much about my community as I
do. I've read quite a bit about that school.
Uh-huh. Professor Mary was the principal there, you know about him.
Yeah, H.R. Mary, was that his name?
I don't remember his initial.
Tell me about Grant then. What was your experience there?
Well, one of the things is we country kids were kind of teased and harassed a little bit. Till we kind of got in the in crowd. They give us a hard time, and all at once you get butted up with a few, and it worked out. No one was ever vicious to us, just teasing, Never got in any fights or anything.
That's country, it didn't seem, but I guess at the time there was that split.
This was way out here.
Yeah.
I get to tease some of them now. I said, you called us country, now you're waiting to move out. If you have moved out this way, is it from adults and got their jobs and kind of out of the city.
Yeah, suburbs uh-huh. have kind of grown.
And now, one of the things that happened in those days is they couldn't find much property out this way or anything, so many of my buddies moved to Cincinnati where they could find a decent house and a decent job.
Did you ever consider doing that yourself?
Well, no, I'm already out here.
Did you ever consider going to Cincinnati?
Oh, no, I've never wanted to. I looked at a house when I first got married, and I looked at a house in Warsaw, so I think I thought more about it than I would going to Cincinnati.
It's further into the country, right?
Yeah, Warsaw. You know, Warsaw,
it's not really. I've heard of it, but
about 30 miles out of Florence. When Old 42 was about 30 miles, so it was.
It's kind of toward Louisville. If you headed to Louisville from here, you'd see a sign. It's near the Speedway, I guess.
Yeah, it's near the Speedway.
That's probably where I've heard of it. I guess that's the official address of the Speedway, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what their official address is, but.
Or no, that's Sparta, I think.
Sparta's
the that's out that way too. So at Grant, what kind of subjects were there? What was a class?
They didn't teach us subjects that would help us in the world at those times. They taught us the English and history and those type things, and they was teaching the girls how to sew and cook, and they weren't teaching them typing in those. That's one of the complaints we started feeling and complaining about. A buddy of mine wanted to be a clerk or whatever. He didn't get any of that until he got to college. He and I worked together out here at the bakery, and I realized that he was taking something in college that the kids out here were taking in high school as far as, what are those subjects?
The practical, the vocational, business, I guess you'd call them.
Stuff. So we ended up going to college to get that. I didn't go to college, but that's what the guys ended up doing. They did make it. They had to study a little harder and a little longer. But they just taught us the ABCs, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and history. And, we got into literature and all those type things.
When you say you complained, who did you?
Oh, just among us. We didn't, we're just.
No formal.
Once you realize this is happening and you kind of talk among your contemporaries. And I guess not until Brother King came along did we really kind of get into it. We were starting it then, but he was was the real pusher.
Now you're gonna have to help me out on the years here. I know when were you going to Grant? Was that early 50s?
It was early 50s, yeah. Let's see, I was born in 35, and I went down there when I was about 16 to do math.
Okay. 51 then.
Okay, yeah, that's about right.
Roughly.
One of the ways I associate here is I remember what automobiles came out.
Sure. So you were there at 51, and then in 1954 is when the landmark Brown versus Board of Education really happened out of the Supreme Court in Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, things didn't change overnight.
No.
But do you remember what the reaction was from the black community when that ruling would have happened, or when it became obvious that a new legal interpretation of segregation was going to come about? I mean, what was the reaction to that?
It was kind of a bittersweet thing. What happens is you go to these schools, and then the teachers, many of them lost their jobs. At Rosella Porterfield, for instance, she was a teacher, and then she became a librarian. And I'm not sure what the pay was or what the stand, but she wasn't a teacher anymore. Because I know her husband got quite upset.
Is that right? give me some understanding of that. I run into that a lot where I work in a school. And
excuse me, I'm getting me some water. You
okay,
water.
No
just
problem.
Keep on talking. I'm listening. So,
tell me that again, just that last thing.
One of the things was when prom time came up, was he just had a hard time finding a date when you were going to a mixed school.
Because there just wasn't that many different black people?
Yeah, that's
or,
right, I can remember some of the early graduations when they would come in and put the blacks together.
In the lot, like grouping, seating,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah, when they would march in, they would come in paired up like that. Then two males, two females, or a male and a female, but they were blacks. We were colored and Negro and all those terms.
Mm-hmm. back to Miss Porterfield, I've run into that situation where, the senior black teacher they keep a job. I'm guessing they got either the same pay or comparable pay, but they were asked to be a librarian or some kind of special reading specialist or something. I mean, what's your take on that from back then?
You know, it's quite unfair. Now, she taught third grade, so I don't know what degree she really had. She taught up to the third grade. I don't know.
I think she went to Kentucky State. I read.
She went to Kentucky State. Yeah, that's where she went.
I mean, you said her husband was upset. I mean, mm-hmm. How did that? What did you hear about that?
That was just more rumor than anything else. But I was just a kid and didn't know. But I heard that he was upset about it. And I think he went to the school board and complained.
To no avail?
To no avail, evidently.
Right.
But, you know, she ended up being a very, very good librarian. As a matter of fact, there are people that mentored her. So she was just a lovely person.
Do you think the white community would have accepted her as a teacher if they...
You know, it's kind of hard to say. We got along real well, but it's hard to say. It probably would have. We in this area did pretty good. You know, even when I ran for office, there was no problem, nobody.
Now, when was that, though? That's much later.
That was back in the 70s.
Okay. For city council?
Uh-huh.
Have you been involved in that pretty much since?
Ever since. It's one of the things I never had in mind of doing, but somebody came to him and asked me to do it and almost twisted my arm.
Right. Right. Smaller town offices are sometimes almost a volunteer.
Yeah.
Did you recall any opposition to integration at the time of the...
No, I don't think we had any. I think it just happened okay.
I had read about Tigert High School. I came across
Tigert. Yeah.
Is that around here at all?
Not my knowledge.
I might be mistaken on that. Mm-hmm. I was reading something about...
There might be something like in Falmouth or some of those places. I think they might have had a high school.
I think that was the pre-Lloyd.
Is that
maybe what I'm talking about there? Lloyd High School's the Erlanger Ellesmere High School. Is that right.
Even today.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it was before then.
Maybe that's what I had come across.
Oh, checking on that.
You'd said earlier, Miss Porterfield had recommended the school board to integrate the younger ones first and make it a gradual
seemed to work real well. You know, they got to know each other before they knew there wasn't hardly a difference, really.
Right. Yeah. The younger you are, the quicker it is to prevent a prejudice.
And influenced by your parents and everything else and other kids.
Right. Do you remember when greater numbers or when the high school level integrated at all around here?
No, I don't. I think it just kind of slowly moved into it.
Okay, you currently hold the office of mayor, tell me what you did after your schooling, after being at Grant High School, up till where you got involved into the city.
I worked on the farm for several years. My grandfather didn't have a big enough farm to keep me busy, but I did get a job. I worked full-time on the farm. And before I got a full-time job, I helped a neighboring farmer, so I stayed pretty busy. And then I left that and came and worked in a bakery here in Ellesmere. I was on the donut crew. We made donuts. We were one of the larger bakeries in northern Kentucky. We made about 1,000 dozen donuts at night, and that was pretty big in those days.
What was the name of that bakery?
Norm. N-O-R-M-V-F. Norm is the way you pronounce it, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And I worked for them for several years. Then I left and went to Fifth Third Bank and was with them the rest of my working days. But
what'd you do there?
Well, I started out in the mail and messenger department. I was still in one of those things that we hadn't gotten into the main flow of things. So I started in the mail and messenger area, and I moved into a filing area and a microfilming area. And as a result, and those areas got larger, and as a result, I ended up running a film lab for the bank. We did our own computer. We did our fish off of a computer tape in those days, and we didn't, it wasn't jacked. You, are you familiar with how microfilming used to be?
I've looked at microfilm. Yeah, the rolls of microfilm.
But we, you know, we got away from that. We would generate it off of a computer tape, and we would come out with a, like a 6x4 inch fish.
Microfiche. Yeah. Okay.
And we would just make it and copy it, and we send it to the, we call them correspondent banks in those days, but that was my biggest job over there.
Was this in Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Okay.
It was fourth and Roanoke when I first started, but then my final years were up there at the news center. And when I left, I was working in the Martin's Loan area, but I was just kind of coasting, ready to retire then.
What course did race relations take, you know, after into the 70s, let's say, into the city? You know, not so much about the high school schooling anymore, but I'm figuring you have a pretty good perspective on that as a elected official.
The city itself, we didn't do much of anything. We just did everything all together. There wasn't a race thing, and we just did those things.
Not too much of a race issue around here?
No, I don't remember anything occurring. The biggest thing was getting being equalized on our jobs, you know, like I said.
Okay, so you've been mayor, city councilman, mayor, and worked in the fire authorities.
I've also been on the Northern Kentucky Area Planning thing, you know, county planning. We're the ones that regulate orderly growth.
And what's how many consecutive years have you been mayor now?
I'm into my ninth year.
Is that third term?
It's two terms. They're 4-year terms.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm into my ninth year.
And you have much challenge when you run?
Well, I had challenge, but I had two people run against me at one time, and I got over 50% of the votes, and the other times I won going away. I had some trouble this year. Council was upset and tried to impeach me.
Is that right? No,
no.
Or
anything about it? It made the Cincinnati news.
What happened?
Well, I think someone wanted my job and a few different things, and they thought I was going to just roll over and say, well, go ahead for it. But I couldn't have done that. My citizens would have killed me.
Right. So you had support from the populace. If you're getting elected by more than 50% when you got two competitors.
I think I had 99% of them. We had a meeting up here. I used a special building when they were going to do first started the impeachment thing. We filled that building. We have a senior citizen building, and there were people there in my corner. And I was surprised. There was two or three people I didn't think was in my corner. My pastor was there, and he got up. He said, "Everybody's in favor of Billy Bradford, stand up or whatever." And everybody got up with these few people. And before the evening was over, they got up in my favor.
Well, that must have made you feel good.
And we had several meetings like that, and it's all worked out. I think it's all behind us as things go.
That's good.
And I don't think it was a racial thing. I think it's just my job.
Well, I guess I should kind of wrap this up, but looking back on your experience, your schooling, it seems like Ms. Porterfield was a main theme of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What are your maybe your fondest memories or what sticks out in your mind as one who, you know, grew up segregated and now is the, you know, mayor of a predominantly white community here, isn't
it? Yeah, I think when I first got on council, we were 3-point-something. In the last census, we were 5.5.
Black?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, yeah, clearly predominantly white. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. You know, just give me some summary of this experience or...
I enjoy life. I think I'm a little bit too happy-go-lucky, and I think it also helps my health. But anyway, I've enjoyed all my teachers, starting with Rosella, and then I went to another Miss Porterfield. She was a good friend and a very, very good teacher. And then I went to Mr. Strader in Burlington, and I just, you know, loved him like the rest of them. He was a great teacher, and I just learned from all of them.
What do you think these folks did to encourage you to be a public servant?
Well, in those days, my folks were all Christian people, and we were in church, and I was working in church, and when they wanted someone to be a representative, they came to me. I didn't really start out as a council person. I started out as a housing authority. This area down here we've redone through the housing authority work, and that's where I got started. And it wasn't quite, the city wasn't quite moving fast enough, so some of us ran for office.
Speed things up.
Yeah, we thought we could, and it got done. I don't know if it was our influence or what, but it was the influence, the beginning influence and the ending influence that allowed us to do some things we felt necessary. This street, two streets here were just mud streets. I'll show them to you when I go out.
Into the 70s?
Back in the 70s, and we were able to buy up the property and then reinvest in it and all, and it's worked out real well.
The city owns that now?
We sold it to individuals, but we sold it to, they're property owners, yeah, we don't own any of it.
Okay, but you just kind of got it going, the city got it going.
Got it going now,
All right, well, any final comments? That concludes my questions.
Well, I just enjoy this community. I think it's a great community to live in, especially with the cooperation I've had for the very, very most part, other than this last year. But no, other than that, I don't have any dramatic statement to make, but it's just a great community to live in.
Well, good.
Medium income people, we're not one of the richer, affluent neighborhoods, but. And we got people that's been here generations.
Right.
And one of the things is that black people came to this community in railroad time. You see it in that paper, man came up on the doing railroad work or whatever.
Probably about 100 years ago or?
Oh, you don't know how far back. Yeah, probably so, because we are 100 years old. We're about 110 years old now. It kind of relates to how we kind of got started in this community. That's some of the history that's in there.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time
today. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.